NTSB Chairman Hirschman rumored as the next transportation secretary. Boeing wants to test fly its Dreamliners, and Baumgartner broke Mach 1 and more. This is Aero News for Wednesday, February 6, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Among the names being mentioned to replace Ray LaHood as Secretary of Transportation is NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hirschman, and some in the know say she is the leading candidate for the post. Hirschman, a registered Democrat, was appointed to the NTSB in 2004 by then-President George W. Bush. The Wall Street Journal reports that she has served as congressional staffers for members of both parties and that her nomination could receive broad bipartisan support. Hirschman generated some controversy when she convinced the FAA to give the NTSB access to some pilot-filed reports about safety issues. She said she wanted to help move the NTSB to a more proactive stance on aviation safety and to, quote, identify safety issues before they result in a fatal accident, end quote. The outgoing chair of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, John D. J. Rockefeller IV, said he would back the nomination of Hirschman for the post. There has been no official comment on the speculation from either the NTSB or the White House. In what may be the first breakthrough in a return to flight for Boeing's Dreamliners, the plane maker has asked the FAA to allow it to begin conducting test flights with the airplane to evaluate potential fixes for battery issues. Reuters relays a report from the Seattle Times that Boeing had submitted an application to the FAA seeking permission for the test flights. The paper indicated that the FAA was evaluating Boeing's request, and while the agency had not set a date for testing to begin, sources said it could be this week. But that could still mean it might be weeks or months before Dreamliners could begin carrying passengers again. Next week, the NTSB battery testing team will initiate a non-invasive soft short test of all cells of the Exemplar battery. Also, an NTSB investigator will travel to France with the battery contractor from the JAL event battery for examination at the manufacturer. The battery contractor connects a wiring bundle from the airplane to the battery. When Felix Baumgartner stepped off his capsule into the fringe of space, he began a free fall that eventually reached 843.6 miles per hour, or Mach 1.25. That makes him the first human to break the sound barrier without any kind of mechanical assistance. But, of course, we knew that. It was previously reported that his speed had been 833.9 miles per hour, or Mach 1.24. The Red Bull Stratus team posted the official peer-reviewed results on its website this week. According to the verified data, Baumgartner's speed increased from 1.24 to 1.25 Mach, but his altitude decreased. Originally reported at 128,100 feet, his jump altitude was lowered to 127,852 feet. Baumgartner's physiologic monitoring provided the team with more than 100 million data points, including the first physiologic data ever gathered from a human traveling at supersonic velocity. The newly released data not only includes his heart and respiratory rates, but also indicates the forces he encountered at milestones throughout the mission. The most important finding of the mission's analysis was already abundantly evident to the countless millions of viewers who watched the leap live around the world. The Austrian adventurer's freefall demonstrated that, with the right equipment and proper training, a human being can safely accelerate through the sound barrier. That is a vital breakthrough for the aerospace industry as it looks for answers to the questions of crew and passenger escape in emergency situations, especially with commercial space travel on the horizon. The FAA has released a safety alert for operators, or SAFO, directed to owners, operators, repair stations, and mechanics holding airframe and power plant, or A&P certificates, concerning service difficulties and safety issues associated with the Aero Vodochody L-39C and L-39ZA variants. According to the agency, air crews have experienced one or both canopies separating from the aircraft are partially opening while in flight. These instances have occurred with a canopy locked indication from the aircraft's annunciator panel warning light. Analysis of these events shows a potential for a false indication from the canopy unlocked light. The SAFO recommends a number of equipment checks and inspections to be done every 100 hours of flight. The FAA says that owners, operators, repair stations, and mechanics that operate and maintain the Aero Vodochody L-39C and L-39ZA airplanes should familiarize themselves with the information found in this SAFO and in the associated Airworthiness Certification Job Aid. When Aero News continues, NASA sets new ballooning records, the FAA talks commercial space travel, and an Iranian sacrifice in space.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, February 6th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A large NASA science balloon has broken two flight duration records while flying over Antarctica, carrying an instrument that detected 50 million cosmic rays. The Super Trans-Iron Galactic Element Recorder, or Super Tiger balloon, launched at 1545 Eastern Standard Time on December the 8th, from the long-duration balloon site near McMurdo Station. It spent 55 days, 1 hour, and 34 minutes aloft at 127,000 feet, more than four times the altitude of most commercial airliners, and was brought down to end the mission on Friday. Washington University of St. Louis managed the mission. On January 24th, the Super Tiger team broke the record for longest flight by a balloon of its size, flying for 46 days. The team broke another record on Friday after landing by becoming the longest flight of any heavy-lift scientific balloon, including NASA's long-duration balloons. The previous record was set in 2009 by NASA's super-pressure balloon test flight at 54 days, 1 hour, and 29 minutes. The FAA will hold its 16th annual Commercial Space Transportation Conference today and tomorrow in Washington, D.C. The two-day conference will get underway at 0800 at the National Housing Center. Departing U.S. DOT Secretary Ray LaHood will deliver keynote remarks at 14:30 this afternoon. The two-day event will feature representatives from academic, industry, and government leaders in commercial space transportation. The conference will include keynotes and panel discussions about space transportation safety, space tourism, launch site development, future space technologies, and developments relating to travel to the International Space Station. According to the FAA, the annual two-day event brings together entrepreneurs, engineers, small businesses, academics, aerospace industry executives, government regulators, and legislators to share their insights about the exciting growth of the U.S. commercial space industry. In a speech to scientists in Tehran recently, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said he stands ready to be the country's first astronaut, seemingly forgetting that an Iranian-born woman has already flown in space. In the speech, the president said, quote, "I'm ready to be the first Iranian to sacrifice myself for our country's scientists." But back in 2006, Iranian-born telecommunications entrepreneur Anousheh Ansari made a journey to the International Space Station aboard a Soyuz TMA-9 spacecraft, a trip for which she paid some $20 million. Ahmadinejad's statement, reported in the Irish newspaper The Independent, came after the country reportedly sent a monkey into space last week, though there are some questions as to whether the animal actually survived the trip. The Associated Press reports that the U.S. State Department said that the monkey that appeared in photographs as it was being taken out of the spacecraft appeared to be different than the monkey that was seen being placed aboard the spacecraft. Who knew that Oliver Stone could start a conspiracy theory at the State Department level? And will there be a movie to follow? I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.